Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Call on Buddhas and Butterflies. We're working on the five koshas, rebirthing you, and we're in the first round of that. So we're just kind of getting our feet wet here a little bit. In the coming months, we're actually in round two, three, going to be tying the five koshas into the five levels of consciousness. So I'll be tying in a little bit more theory here. And in the coming weeks, this first round, as we get into things, I'm going to invite us to continue to explore. And I haven't honestly, in the last couple of sessions, done a whole lot of emphasis on, you know, the particular layers of the five koshas. I started off a little bit more with that. So just see, we return to that over the next couple of weeks. And then, like I said, in the coming rounds, we're going to deepen into some other theoretical combinations of information in that way. Okay, my loves. So, without any further ado, I'm going to invite you to begin here, as we often do, by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. To receive. To drink in life. And every exhale, an opportunity to release. Let go. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. If any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking time to savor that. To drink that in and to mindfully be with it. And as you do that, if any part of that is pleasant to neutral, continuing in the response of the body that is, to savor that too, and continue to be with that. And then I'm going to invite you to, on purpose, let your senses go for a bit of a walk around your either external or internal space, if we differentiate amongst those. And as those senses go for a bit of a walk around your space, I'm curious to check out what they land upon and notice what it is that you like the most about that all. Maybe it's that shape, size, or color. Maybe it's the negative space or the space like around it all. Negative not being bad in this particular usage of that word. Just referring to the space that gets shaped by the presence of whatever it is you're located on, or whatever you're looking or taking in with your five senses. Or maybe it's the way the light and the shadow play around the edges or within the object. Whatever that is, again, the invitation is to savor and to be with it in a way that lets you really drink in like the juiciness of that. And as you continue to drink that in, breath by breath, imagine that we can literally breathe that inside of you. Every breath, drinking that in just a little bit deeper. And then I'm going to invite you to notice what the response to that is. What's happening inside of you as a response to breathing the energy of that object or that thing that you've located inside of you? Knowing that it may not have been an object, it may have just been light or space itself. As you notice that response, again, if any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, savoring that. Okay, my loves. As you continue to drink that all in, I'll offer these words. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here with you all. And thank you for the opportunity to dive into this work together in the ways that we do. And thank you to all that's gone into this sweet moment of connection. Thank you to your families, your ancestors, your lineages, and to the villages that support you in being here and all that you've accomplished to arrive at this particular point in life. And what a sweet intersectionality this is. I wonder what it might be like to really turn our attention to, honestly, the miraculousness of what had to transpire for us all to be here at this particular moment in time. Thinking of all the things that came before this to arrive here. And thank you to those that have caretaken and stewarded these lands. The deepest of gratitude for your support in this life and your support in what it means to be a human, for us to have the opportunity to learn, to grow, to be alive, to express, to feel, to be in existence, to know what our needs are, to know what it is to love, to know what it is to make a choice, to know what it is to thrive. Without any of that nourishment, we wouldn't actually have the opportunity to engage in any of that. So thank you for your service. As I reflect upon that, I also feel really drawn to give gratitude to the four elements, the fire, the earth, the air, and the water that run through us all, that transpire in ways that we may not even ever get to understand through our intellect or even through our intuition and insight, but somehow combine to give us the gift of life. And thank you to that mysterious fifth element, the quintessence of it all that unites them in ways that are uncountable, unseen, mysterious, and beyond the known. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. As we head into our session today, and blessings on all that you are exploring today and receiving through this, we're turning our attention towards transforming the, as I call them, the combo emotions, or the extra emotions. Working with things like guilt, shame, apathy, anxiety, overwhelm, and jealousy. We're actually starting off with that last one, with jealousy. And it's working here through the somatic location of the left side of the heart, going up into the left ear and all the way out to the left shoulder in the front of it, out to lung one acupuncture point that hangs out in the outer corner of it. Works with new beginnings. There's a sense here of jealousy around, and this involves comparison, or the consciousness of comparison, around others having an easier way through, or an easier time of things, or an easier life path, or an easier karmic pattern in their family line to transmute, or just a sense of jealousy around how others have ease in ways that you don't necessarily fathom could be ever locatable or possible within your own system. And within that, there's a sense of simultaneously having to feel like you need to like restrain the jealousy and its expression and be pleasing in order to actually get to have what they have. And also a sense of utter frustration around not being able to achieve what it is they have achieved. And all of this to say that there's a sense here of, I don't want to be me at play. I don't want to be me. I don't want to have to deal with what I have to deal with. And that is its own form of rejection, self-rejection. So if we think of jealousy as being nothing other than self-rejection, oh, it's a big concept, isn't it? Jealousy, self-rejection. For this particular pattern holding in this somatic location, we're going to run a Sidri on it. It's going to continue actually for the next 8 days, which goes just past our next session when we gather together again. And for this, the Sidri starts with C, circulation of all the healing resources, blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons. We're here with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that work with lowering inflammation, anxiety, depression, help the whole body mind to heal, in particular that nervous system and immune system. They're also working with the balance of feminine yin and its nurturing essence and the masculine yang and its protective essence, which runs through us all. And then bringing in hydration, helping the cells to take in water, joy, releasing the impurities that no longer need to be here. Followed by D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean. Taking out the clutter that doesn't need to be here anymore. And then what remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Or utilized, better put perhaps, resources in other ways that no longer need to go into this particular job, but get to be moved around or relocated. Then all of the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, and reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking and opening up the possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness. Think of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. Okay. Then we're linking that all through to the 12th house, house of the liver, liver meridian. And through here, we're actually releasing toxic, the perception, I'm going to say, of toxic karmic patterns held in particular dad's side of the family lines. And there's a sense here of lack of gratitude. Lack of capacity for gratitude. There we go. Lack of the capacity of even being there. Interesting enough, to support this, we're bringing in a connection between all things heart, heart chakra, brain, meridian, organ, all things heart. connecting it through to the navel, the center of connection. As we work with this, we're actually going back to time and space when not just dad, but actually all the male relatives in that line, going back six generations, were born. And being able to connect to the heart essence in that moment and remember that harmonious quality of the heart that offers respect, dignity, a way of being in this world that is, one might argue, the connection point to potentially like the beyond. As we work with this, helping to restore the capacity and its connection to that capacity to support the system in being able to locate gratitude. We're doing that for, again, for all the male relatives, six generations back, starting with dad and his line. As we bring that in, it actually further calms down that jealousy pattern around the left side of the heart, shoulder, jaw there. Now we're running a cellular repair that's related to this lifetime with the emotion of shame. And it's relating to age six. And it's actually going into the social realm at school when you were navigating what it was to be in relationship with other children your age, as well as other adults, but more so the other kids your age. And there's a shame here around a sense of insufficiency in what you bring to your connections. Shame around insufficiency and around what you bring to your connections. Which has led to a sense in this stage and age of life around needing to overgive, overcompensate, overdo, over, well, in men I see this as playing out as like the Mr. Nice Guy complex. And we don't have that phrase for women. We don't have like, you know, Mrs. Nice Person, which is interesting because it's like so prevalent, maybe so much so that we just assume that that's not an issue because that's just how women are supposed to be. I'm, you know, maybe being a bit pessimistic here in this particular moment around how we categorize that in our world. But I'm going to invite us to imagine that we're actually stuck a little bit in that same sort of a complex of having to be nice as a form of overcompensation for feeling insufficient. And here we're writing the permissions. The words are, my presence is enough. My presence is enough. My presence is enough. I invite you to give that just a couple of slow, deep breaths. We're not timing this out. We're just pausing to literally take that in a little bit deeper. And as you breathe that in, we're actually connecting that through to the conception vessel meridian that runs through the midline of the front body. And we're running lymphatic drainage all the way through the front body. As we release this concept that life was somehow wasted on you, that life was somehow wasted on you. As we release that low self-esteem through the midline, we're also releasing it through the midline of the front of the head brain, which is more governing vessel territory. But we're working with it all the way through this midline, through conception vessel and governing vessel meridians. And this midline is actually meant to work with the sense of being able to actually trust the divine, God, universe, spirits. And here we're working with the permissions that the mother of all creation chose you. You can substitute out that wording, mother of all creation, for your own particular usage of the wording around spirit, God, divine. And that's just how it's coming through for my brain in this particular moment. And I kind of move freely and easily amongst all those terms. The mother of all creation chose you. The mother of all creation chose you. As we do that, we're releasing the fear and worry combo of anxiety from the heart brain, as well as from the thymus gland just above, which is always on guard around all things to do with acceptance and rejection. It's often playing a bit of a defensive role, is what I mean by on guard. And it's a way that it's looking for safety. There's this like chronic vigilance, maybe even hypervigilance for some of us, maybe a lot of us. I'll put myself in that category. And you can decide where that fits for you. Where there's a tendency to like be on the watch or lookout or be on the guard, be on the potential defense. And essentially underneath that all is a sense of, I just trust life and I'm gonna make sure that it goes the way that I think it should go, and I'm gonna desire to have some level of control around it. And not replacing what's the natural innate capacity for you to have guidance come through from that mysterious realm of the mother of all creation, of God, of universe, of spirit. And as we release that through this region of the system, which by the way hangs out just on either side of the midline, releasing confusion and distortions around what it is you thought you had to do to survive in this world, in this lifetime. That's going all the way back to when you were simply an egg floating through the fallopian tube. And just before you got fertilized, in a sense of like doubt around, do I actually have everything on board that I need to make this journey happen? And there's actually a sense of something missing or lacking, or a sense of depletion, like not having all the energetic vitality. Okay, now I'm playing around with this concept, and there's lots of different viewpoints on when the soul enters the body in almost every single tradition. So if this doesn't jive with your worldview, cool. And if it does, yay. Working with it in a flexible timeline to whenever you believe the soul enters the system. We're looking at that time just before the soul entered. There's almost this like hesitation around like, is this something I really want to do? I don't know if I have the energy to make it through this. That's again stored in this egg that's floating down the fallopian tube, in a sense of like touch and go-ness around even being open to fertilization, never mind having a soul enter the system. Well, I'm going to argue that they actually come at the same time. That's my personal theory, that the soul enters at the moment of conception. Some people say it's in 3 days afterwards, which I can also really get behind. And some people say it's, there's a lot of different viewpoints. I won't cover them all right now. Okay, and in that egg, however, there is, I'm going to use like adult languaging for something that hasn't even really differentiated yet from, you know, its own personhood of belonging to the mother still. And as I do that, taking some liberties along the way, working with the sense of this egg having, you know, a little bit of curiosity, just a little bit. And I'm going to argue that, or I'm going to put forth, not really argue, that there's tremendous capacity for curiosity to transcend challenges in life. And there was, in this particular moment, the curiosity necessary on board to invite in A, conception, and B, ensoulment or incarnation or life. There's just enough curiosity. So as we work with this, we're going to do a couple things to support the, excuse me, this egg. And we're going to also work with using curiosity as a healthy resource to overcome challenges. So I'm going to invite you to imagine whatever challenge seems to be happening in your adult life right now, that you can actually, without doing anything other than this, change or support your system by bringing in curiosity. As we do that, it's almost like a precursor for imagination to enter the scene. And it's said that imagination is the first body of the soul. Isn't that beautiful? Curiosity is the first body of the soul. So we're working at this space or this sheath, this covering of right before the soul enters, which is this space between the soul and, I'm going to argue, the physical, mental, emotional body and its whole full expression of its constellation that we're working with right here, right now. And as I conjecture right here around this to a degree, working with this idea that, again, curiosity, imagination can help to transcend our challenges in life, I'm going to invite you to, again, bring to mind that challenge. See if you can maybe even get an image with it. And then offer that image, and maybe it's a color, or may not be like a full-formed image, whatever information you have. And if it's another sense organ that's at play versus a visual, maybe there's a feeling, a smell, a taste, a sound, that's welcome, however that shows up. And in your imagination, I'm going to invite you to imagine that we can bring in like a Harry Potter wand or a magic paintbrush, and we can like abracadabra at this. And look what it turns into as you drop in just a little bit of imagination, and that Harry Potter wand does its thing, or that magic paintbrush does its thing. Okay. And notice what that's turned into. This becomes a form of rebirthing within itself, within its own right, this particular technique. And notice what's here in a way that you can appreciate any tangible differences that bring any particular relief or pleasantness into the system again. Then here, running the permissions of I am not stuck. I am not stuck. And that's connecting now or linking into a permission statement of, don't confuse your stuckness with your, pardon me, don't confuse your truth with being stuck. Or don't confuse stuckness with truth. Then we're heading right back into that time just before fertilization. And that moment of curiousness that invited in this fullest expression of life. and the entrance of the soul, or if it helps, the entrance of the breath of God. The breath of creation. And as the system receives that, bringing in the consciousness of ease and helping to release this idea from that egg that felt like it was stuck, that it had to work so hard. And there's almost a sense of actually like asphyxiation, like it didn't have enough oxygenation to that particular egg for this to have the fullness of, again, that like desire to just like go get them. And it gave rise to the sense of pause around, do I have everything that I need? I'm actually running a cell repair on the basic essence of the primordial chi that came from the mother. Now, as we restore this, it's actually going more so into the maternal lines, and we're going back 8 generations. As we restore oxygenation damage at the follicular level of the ovaries. Or in other words, just inadequate oxygen supply to the ovarian follicles as they were developing in the womb for 8 generations. Whether that was from smoking, drinking, a stress, or anything else, pollutants, or a sense of maybe taking in things in an environment which was just challenging to receive nourishment within. And it always feeling like having to work uphill. As we do that, running lymphatic drainage for the low back region of the system. And it's actually releasing this idea of having to engage in back-breaking work simply to survive. Releasing the concept of back-breaking work from survival. And with that, running a little bit of a 10, actually, I don't know what we're running yet. We're heading here anyways into the enteric nervous system. And we're working with that same idea of, again, I have to like work really hard just to make it and survive here. And again, reconfiguring that. Okay, we're doing that by releasing worry, aka confusion. Along with overwhelming worry, got it. Which has actually been keeping this generated, keeping it going. We're actually gonna reorient the enteric nervous system to the consciousness of ease. Now ease, the etymology of that is sometimes attributed to the French, but before that, Latin. I believe. It always seems to go back to the Latins and the Greeks, doesn't it? And a sense here of, in that wording of the etymology, of lying close by, of lying close by. And I'm going to put forth that it's actually at ease because it's lying close by that which is the fullest expression of ourselves, that which is again that mother of creation, of God, of universe, of spirit. And that dis-ease is nothing more than the absence of that. And for those of us, which is definitely me in this camp, that love the complexities and breaking things down into a myriad of possibilities, it can might even feel like a bit of an oversimplification. Because that might challenge the egoic constructs around healing, dis-ease, ease, wholeness, healing, being fully in connection with all of ourselves and essences in union. As we restore the sense of ease within this enteric nervous system, running lymphatic drainage through the low back, through the, very specifically now, the erector spinae muscles, which work with postural control. And also help to, supported by the bladder meridian, govern our nervous system and regulate it. And here we're running I haven't refined the words exactly yet, but there's the permissions within here around being able to go after what you want and not having to have it come from this place of give it everything you've got and be like fully depleted just to barely get there. Cool. And the words here are, I can drive with ease, meaning like your sense of drive can happen with ease. And there's a double meaning here. I wasn't sure how we were going to get there from this all. But someone had requested some support around driving in a private message. I won't go into details. And if that's also present for some of, some others on the call, that you maybe have some challenges around upcoming drives or in general, or potentially one of your ancestors, like my mom has a huge fear of it. And also working with a just general sense of like, you can actually just go for what you want to go after without having to like give it everything to the point where you feel like utterly depleted. That's just an old pattern from coming into this life. And one that's been held ancestrally for years, for decades, centuries. That might be a bit of a stretch. You get the idea. Several generations. I can drive with ease. And with that, I actually see the cortisol production around the adrenal complex begin to like almost like a dimmer light switch that we can slowly move down. For some of you, it'll go down a little further than others. And releasing any sort of chronic sympathetic overwhelm within the system around this all, or simply that's in your system, period. It might not be related to actually driving a vehicle, but how does you navigate and how does you drive in your life? And my playful part of my brain actually sees an image now of like a soldier being like told by his commanding officer to stand at ease. Like this is okay now. You're actually done. You're complete. Stand down are the exact words. Stand down. We might even imagine that commanding officer to again be the mother of all creation, God, universe, spirit, pick your wording here. Stand at ease, stand down. I've got the wheel. It might be another way to word that. This is different from another part of my playful brain booted up that expression, like Jesus take the wheel. This is a little different from that. That's more like a, holy fuck, I gave up. I don't know what's happening. I'm out of this. Okay. So as we support the system through this lumbar spine, through this low back, I'm not sure how this ties in just yet, but it's linking to the 11th house, the house of the gallbladder meridian, which catalyzes actions and decisions to move us forward. And interestingly, then through to the 10th house, house of outward self-expression. It's also the house of the triple heater meridian, which works with being able to take in, digest, release as a very quick overview. We're more so working with the capacity to take new action and how it is, or a new beginning, and how it is you're outwardly expressing yourself, and how it is you're achieving, how it is you're engaging in career, and how it is you're offering your energies towards being able to also receive recognition. And then we're working here with a permission statement again. And the words here are recognition is safe, like being able to stand in the light of your achievement, your recognition, and to be visible within that is safe. Put another way, it's safe to be seen. It's safe to be seen within success. There we go. It's safe to be seen within success. And part of that is actually going to involve setting down the pattern of internalizing other people's ideas, thoughts, beliefs around how it is you seem to be for them. Almost like your own success has been a threat in the past, in a way where you maybe like successfully walked or successfully ate something as like a little one, or something along those lines that somehow triggered something within the parents that were like a little bit jealous of you. Which kind of brings us back full circle to that jealousy in a sense of like you have to do those things to survive, walk, eat, etc. And also a sense of, oh my gosh, but my parents are now jealous of me doing that. So I better just internalize that jealousy and engage in that behavior so I'm not too much of a threat to them and they still take care of me. And all of that, ooh, lack of cohesive energy around that all, creating this constant push-pull around this desire to want to succeed and need to succeed to survive and stay alive, but also the desire to stay small and protect yourself. So you can continue to get the basic needs met. So here, supporting the system and releasing the pattern of having to play small in order to get your needs met. As we do that, releasing the belief system within this, don't stand out. Don't stand out. And that all actually being located on the opposite, on the right side of the heart, jaw, lung one point out through all the way out through to that shoulder. And this whole area of the body, if I could look at it energetically, seems to be like playing extremely small and almost like an infant curled in fetally. So even if you're like quite open already, I'm gonna invite you to exaggerate that openness. And if you're not quite open already, I'm gonna invite you to, if it's possible, put a little bit of energy into the right foot to bring that all the way up through to the upper body and open up through the fascial connective tissue systems. As we do that, releasing any particular adhesions again through that area just to the right of the midline, our guidance system, and being able to navigate that without the previous restrictions of those belief systems which are creating that need for false control to open up and to broaden into the fullness of the expression of you. And liberating, I might even say liberating that arm, liberating that It's actually the whole complex. So the arm is meant to, you've likely heard me say some variation of this or another before. After we're born, we're actually be able, it's meant to be able to reach out, to grab what it is we want to grab, to bring it back to us, and to enjoy it. It's the satisfaction cycle. So liberating that arm to be able to satisfy yourself. To satisfy yourself, not anybody else or their preconceptions, limitations, ideas, but to satisfy you. As a part of that, it also involves settling down. I'm going to call it like the classic chip on the shoulder. And it, although it is towards that gallbladder meridian, there's an acupuncture point right on that trap. It's also extending all the way through to the neck, around C7 vertebrae at the base of the neck. And in that distance between the upper trap and C7 vertebrae, it traverses the, at least the first two ribs, maybe the third in there, and the clavicle for sure. As we make our way through there, releasing like almost like a core level, like really deep core level of low self-esteem and deep, like it's really quite deep in there. And it's working with the energy of restraint and needing to deeply restrain yourself by means of low self-esteem in order to again gain that acceptance to survive. Running lymphatic drainage all the way through here. And releasing like a terror of, I'm not gonna make it unless I just take what I need, but don't look at me taking what I need because I might get into trouble for that. And releasing a whole lot of confusion. And the need to almost be like covert in one's going after things. Okay. With that, there's like this. Almost like an overwhelming wave of nausea. And if you're feeling that, that's okay. It's not a bad thing. It's just the system reorganizing and releasing and beginning to detoxify and purge what no longer needs to be here at a cellular level. I'm releasing it all the way through to interestingly enough, I haven't seen it come up this way before. This is cool. Into the upper lower spine reciprocals. Okay, so releasing this from literally the Sushumna, central channel. But like on the right side of it. Which is, by the way, the Sushumna is the central channel for your spine, your nervous system, and it's thought to be the pathway through which the energy of the nervous system rises from its dormant state in the coccyx or tailbone up to the crown chakra, which is thought to, by the way, be our life's journey. And here we're releasing the resentment around having to take this journey on a very deep subconscious level. That's going back all the way again to that time frame around being the egg in a sense of like, this has been really hard. Ugh. Okay. Then we're heading at the same time as that to the gut brain, and we're clearing out any level of mental confusion around connection, and we're running the permissions that connection is an instinct. And boy, oh boy, did I tap into some big experiences around that this weekend, so this might be projection on my part. That connection is an instinct. Connection is an instinct. And as I say that, I begin to see that sort of nauseous thing that I was referring to earlier begin to leave the system, and with it, it's carrying around, or it's carrying with it actually deep grief around like what would life have been like without these restrictions, which is actually also a part of life's journey. Oh, yeah. As we do this, essentially cleaning out any particular layers of confusion again between the soul and the, I mean, I sum it up between the physical, mental, and emotional layers of the body in this human form of divinity that we are. Cool. It's all looking up into the brainstem, medulla oblongata. Isn't that a fun word to say? And excuse me, in other modalities, it's thought to actually be the mouth of God. The mouth of God. And wrapped up in this is confusion, rage, denial, control around why suffering has to happen, why loss has to happen, why grief has to happen in the way that it does. And then this is now getting right back into again that time from around the egg and the future cells that will eventually become the brainstem or and their energetic blueprint that are contained within the genetic blueprint of the egg. And the words here are, there's actually two expressions of them. I don't really love the first one, but not up to me to like it or not like it. I would have to like it. It's safe to move on. It's safe to move on. It just feels like a little bit callous in my system. So the wording that I prefer is the second version, which is, you have safe passageway now. You have safe passageway now. And somehow that is tying into releasing for the soul itself a fear of the bardos. The bardos is the place which is attributed, anyways, by many, where the souls are thought to hang out before they come turfside, earthside. And I like to think of it less so as like an actual location and more so as an archetypal energy. But that's just my personal viewpoint. You can engage with it however you so desire. Please do. So as you release that fear of navigating the bardos from the soul, releasing worry, excuse me, as well. That brainstem. Oh my goodness, that brainstem looks shiny. Brand new. We can imagine just literally invigorating it with circulation of all those healing resources to keep that awareness of the shiny new brain stem circulating now throughout the entire body mind, all the way out to the energy fields, the auras, the meridians, the chakras. And we're going to tap here. Invitation to breathe, to receive, however it feels right for you. As I'm tapping this out, I actually just see re spontaneously releasing the belief system of I don't have the energy to engage with life. Releasing that belief system, I don't have the energy to engage with life. And as that releases, there's a natural vitality that begins to rise through the spine. Giving that one more round of breath. And I've got a very short song. Well, not very, but somewhat short song. It's 2 minutes and 22 seconds. Oh, no, sorry. 2 minutes and 15 seconds. It's called Red Thread by Olivia Fearn. I invite you to take these next couple of minutes just to simply rest in wherever you're resting. And if you need an extra little bit of support, bringing in that resource that you found earlier and relying on your very breath, turning your attention to your breath and drink that in just a little bit deeper now. Thank you for the opportunity to be here with you all in these ways. And the deepest of thanks again to all that's gone into this sweet moment of connection with you all and the miracle that truly is. Thank you for drinking this medicine and thank you for being here just as you are. Blessings in your week ahead. Om Shanti, 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 peace. 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 Mwah. Have yourselves a, oh, thank you, vibrant transformation. And I also appreciate your earlier comments about, oh, sure, about my perception of jealousy. That made me laugh. Thank you for that. You're most welcome, everybody. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Have yourselves a beautiful week, and thank you so much for the opportunity to work together. You're very welcome, most welcome. Thank you, Allison, and for whomever put the driving thing in, right? All right, your loves. Hey, bye for now, y'all.